Hello, gorgeous people, and welcome back to another episode of What Is This Feeling? A podcast where I talk about everything gay, theatre, drag, spirituality, and sex. My name is Piotr, and I'm a Pisces, and this week we're going to talk about new, something new, new things, new you, new year, everything new. You hear it all today in What Is This Feeling? Yeah. Ooh. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. Oh, did you have a good Christmas? Did you have a good time off? Hopefully you had a nice time. I had a lovely time. Sometimes it's a bit much with people and eating and drinking and physically and mentally trying to stay cool. So I felt I had a bit of a cough and I think I just had a bit of a cold over this festive period. You can still hear it a little bit of my voice. But it was great. It was lovely. It was nice. And I am back in this new year with another episode. And what I love about a new year, a thought about a new year, is just the openness about all the opportunities. It sounds really stupid, but I feel there is opportunity for... It's like to change. It's like, oh, I can be a totally cool, new, fun, different person in this new year. Which is not really... Well, it's a bit of my resolution, in a way. My New Year's resolution is to be more social and to be more fearless, to do what I like to do, and yeah, put myself first. So for New Year, I went to a friend's house for a party, and I wasn't really sure how many people that were there and stuff. So... already thinking about my New Year's resolution to be more social, I got overwhelmed by the amount of people that were there and amount of people that I didn't know and the amount of straight people there. And I just got fully over sensitized. How do you call it? I was just, it was a bit too much for me. And I was like, oh. So luckily, after a bit, going outside and inside, having a bit of a chill with the friends that we were there with. Luckily, it went better. But it was such like a funny thing that I wanted to be more social in the new year. And then going to this party and then suddenly so many people that I didn't knew. Like literally, like it felt like there were 50 people in this house party. It was just a lot. A funny thing, wanted to be social. But... after that, I was like, oh, this was a proper challenge for me to be social and to be like that. So I'm not sure if I succeeded that challenge, but it was definitely a challenge to end the new year, the old year. Another thing I wrote down, which I saw the film A Wonderful Life. I went on the train to Durham for Christmas with my boyfriend, and we saw the film A Wonderful Life. And it was really good. It's such an old school film. I think it's from the 1940s, 1946, just after the war came out. And it was just so wonderful. It's almost like the story of Scrooge, but with a nice person. So a person who does so well in their lives and you feel for them. So when they wish not to be alive anymore, and get given kind of a second chance to be like, hey, you are making a difference for other people, so please stay in this world and stay alive. It hit really hard, and it was really nice. It was really a really good film. So if you haven't seen it, A Wonderful Life, yeah.
My pulse is rushing. My head is reeling. My face is flushing. What is this show?
A new show. So the... we saw a show on the 30th of December. We saw Matthew Bourne's Edward Scissorhands ballet. It was incredible. It was so beautiful. It was really good. Loved it. Really fun. But I also heard that the show was already been around for quite a lot of years. So it was not really a new show, but new for me. I think throughout the years, I've been not very up to date with lots of new shows. When a new show comes out, I would see it, or but there are also shows that just pass me by. I've remembered when I was in drama school, and Next to Normal came out, Spring Awakening came out, and I was proper like listening to that every time I would go to school, and I felt proper in that kind of area, of when like Broadway and the West End and stuff. I was on it with new stuff. But I feel for the past year, so for example, I've never been into Six. That just went past me, the musical Six. And I feel I've remembered when Dear Evan Hansen came out on Broadway, when people first like heard the song Waving Through a Window, boo-doo-doo-doo. When that came out, it was like, oh, that's the song to sing. And that's like a cool song and like interesting. Never saw the show. I've never seen the show. So it's funny that those kind of new created things pop up, but just pepper Hamilton. I haven't seen Hamilton yet. Some big things are just passing me by. But some other productions, like we saw Sunset Boulevard, is an old show, but it's a new production. Which was incredible, by the way, but I talked about it in the podcast before. So, for example, when a show, for example, hey, let's talk about Wicked. So, when Wicked came to the Netherlands, Willemijn van Kijk played Elphaba. She originated the role in Germany, played it for 3 years, did the Netherlands, West End, Broadway, all of the shebang. It was advertised to play for 6 months in Scheveningen. Which is a city, and there is a theater called the Circus Theater, Circus Theater. And back in the day, Joop van den Ende, who owned the biggest musical production company in the Netherlands, he bought that theater for a lovely 1 gulden, which is like what we have before the euro. Is it a guilder or something, if you say it in English? I'm not sure. And he bought that for 1 gulden, because it was not like a beautiful theater back then. He made it into the theater that we know it now. So Wicked was in that theater, and it was advertised for 6 months, and then it was advertised, oh, it's doing another 6 months, and you're like, yeah, PR production. I'm not sure if that was like the smartest thing to do to make people like, oh no, we need to get a ticket now before it closes. Because I felt that Wicked is quite an American show. It's the backstory of The Wizard of Oz, which is a very American vibe story. So I was confused and curious how well it would be in the Netherlands, because there's so much references that we don't really have or get. I think it made such an impact in the West End that it's proper about the friendship and about being different and knowing your power. And I don't know, I was just curious how it would translate in the Netherlands. And of course, apart from Willemijn van Kijk, they just put a couple of like high-end celebrity people in it, but it didn't really do that well. I think they might say they did, but knowing some insight, they didn't really do that well with ticket sales, which is a shame because it was quite like a fun translation. But yeah, that new show didn't really do that well. Talking about new shows, the first show that I ever saw was the musical Aida, and it came out in 2001 on Broadway. Tell me if I'm wrong. And in that same year, it came out in the Netherlands as well. And it was the first European production that was out there. And I feel it was one of the first kind of big Broadway trans, not transfer, but a big a copy of a Broadway show been done in such a short time with a new show. There's been lots of shows that has been be brought from the West End to Broadway or vice versa with Phantom or with Cats. And then after knowing a couple of years of running that they are a very big success, they would, go to other countries like the Netherlands, Germany, France. France! The musical Aida, I feel, was one of the first shows that already had a different a production in a different country in the Netherlands after it opened on Broadway. Yeah, just a little a little insight. I just finished a panto. I was in The Hunger Gaze, which is an adult panto, was shown at the Two Brewers. I have always felt that when I would go into a kind of rehearsal period and exploring the character, I always feel I am exploring new things. So throughout the shows that we did, we only did 11 shows. I at the end, I felt I could have a couple of jokes that I have discovered throughout playing it, which I didn't had in the first couple of shows. I always feel that when I create a character or when I do a show like that, I'm always curious to find new things, if that is in different depths. Because especially with this panto, I felt it was hard to fully 100% be over the top or be serious, or I wanted to give a nice roller coaster effect and give a couple of peaks and like lows and to keep it fresh. I've really enjoyed that, and I was fully aware of like, okay, I feel in this scene and this point I need to do this, and I want to bring this to the character so that the audience, I think I was maybe a bit too overthinking in it with just an adult panto, but I feel it makes a difference. It definitely makes a difference for me as an actor. I know, looking back, when I did my master's at the Guildhall School of Acting, we did an end show which was called Hands on a Hard Body, which was a really fun show. And I remembered having a rehearsal period of about a month, I think. I think it was a month. I was so enjoying it and so diving into the character that I had, which was Dawn, and just exploring things. And because I felt I was more of the comedy relief part of the show, so I felt I had to explore more with that as well. And I remembered doing our final dress run, and the director had one note for me, and the note was, do not do anything more. Do not add anything to the role. And I was like, I don't feel I know this completely. I feel I need to explore more. I feel I need to fill more things in for myself. So that note was a bit, oh, I wish I could just do a bit more. And just because, especially when you have an audience in front of you as well, then you trust your humor and your acting abilities to be like, okay, if I do this, it makes sense for the character, and if it's a joke for the audience, perfect. But if there's an audience in front of you, that's the first time you will know if something will work or not. And of course, it can change night and day by like depending on the performance. But if there's an audience in front of you and you first do a joke or a scene or something that you want a kind of reaction from it because you feel the character needs that, that's the first time you get it. So I took the note, and I think I added more things as well because I felt it needed it.
Oh, mom, it's drag. Oh.
Cool. New year, new me. What? New year, new me. I am still curious with what I'm gonna do with my drag. So this whole new year with new things I would like to try. I feel like I said in the beginning, my mindset is very anything is possible. All the opportunities are open. I want to be fearless, knowing that I can do anything and you can do whatever you put your mind to. That's what you can do. So I'm excited for to try new things. And a thing that like is in my mind is how to get myself out there and what I want to show and if I want to show myself. So yeah, I'm excited to try new things with drag, if that is performing wise, and especially coming out of the panto that I did, it just boosted me. It just boosted me in how you communicate with an audience that is halfly intoxicated and just have fun. And that was the whole thing, to have fun with your audience and to have a fun banter in between them and just having a good time for both of us. So I'm really excited to try that. So yeah, that's it. Small segment. Do 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 do
Welcome to the Zen Garden.
Good morning. So I listened to a, it's not even a meditation, I think. I have the book You Can Heal Your Life from Louise Hay, and it's an incredible book. I read it a couple of times now, and every time I read it, I discover new things, and it's almost like I'm reading a new book every single time because my conscience is just open for new things. And this morning I listened to, you can find it on podcasts, if you type in Louise Hay, and she, I think she reads out the first chapter of a book, first part of a book. It was a 20-minute episode where she speaks about it, and it's just so refreshing. And I did it this morning, because I felt I needed it. And she said as well, you are your thoughts. And I think it's really important to understand that, because what you make of your thoughts is your reality. Knowing as well what thoughts are yours, and because we all are amazing creatures, and we can sense a lot, and we take a lot and put it and make it our own. So for example, a lot of for example, negative or fearful thoughts that I sometimes have, I can sit, that's my mantra. My mantra is sit back and relax, as in like I'm gonna sit back and gonna look at the thoughts that I have and just see them go by. And that's when I get quite relaxed and feel in my body that those thoughts are not my reality and not my truth. So, when she said, your thoughts are, what did she say again? You are your thoughts. So, if I think new year, new me, opportunities are everywhere, anything is possible, I feel that. I feel that in my body. I feel that now. And that's my reality for today, for now. Cool. And that's it. And that's my reality. And it is quite simple and very effective. But when you have fun deconstructing thoughts, and when you have thoughts that doesn't really serve you, especially in positions and situations where you get triggered, or you don't feel very nice or safe or welcomed. I force myself now to train myself to be aware of those things, to be like, okay, this is not about me. This is all about the people around me, or the situation, or what I perceive as, for example, my trauma, which has nothing to do with this situation. Yeah, oh, life is so nice. Life is so good. There is a video, and I've talked about it before, and it's a on Instagram. I saw a reel of a woman, and she said, if you would go to Earth, if you were asked to go to Earth to be here for a while, a short while, and you can feel and perceive anything, the good, the bad, everything, ups and downs, would you do it? And she was like, yes, I would go here and just live a life and just feel everything. I am very grateful for where I am in my life now, looking back on the past 2 years and me starting this podcast. And it had made such a difference in who I am and It's not even with like showing how I feel and putting that out there. It's also voicing it and becoming aware of it. And yeah, I'm very thankful. In a way, to maintain that and to, because we are all so good at judging. We are so good at judging. So, for example, if you would, it would be February, a month later, and you wouldn't feel as nice as, for example, today. And you would think, oh, but in the on the 2nd, 3rd of January, I felt amazing. Like, and then you started comparing yourself with how you felt or how you thought you felt. And then you start judging yourself on that progress and, snowball effect. And then how do you get out of that? Cool. Just have a couple of things. Just sit back and relax. It's really funny because I felt all the negative, weird thoughts that I had were mine and make me feel valid and were a part of me. So to not be aware or discrediting those thoughts was kind of a weird thing. That's why people have like traumatic things in their life. If you know people that always have issue with something, always have issues with relationships, it always is a repeat. It's a repeat. And it has a couple of things, to do that it will show up in your life. And one of the things is that you keep hold of it, is that you keep it up. It's your thoughts are you. You are keeping those things up. So if I always think, oh, today is great, but I know next week it will be horrible, that's your reality, that's your thoughts. Yeah, find the connection and the link of what that is and go deep, go very deep, and it will be something that is unexpected and what you have suppressed or pushed away, believe me, and it will have a massive release when you think it or when you speak it out. And it can be very hurtful because there's so much sadness behind it. There are so many things about feeling worthy that I have problems with. And that's something I feel I need to work on because I feel that's an emotional string that gets touched when I am speaking about it. Because I feel a lot of things, maybe even with performing, what I said with drag, to be to show myself or to do it. And I think of like, am I worthy enough to do it? That's like almost a point where it hits something that I know this is the underlying kind of reason why I am bumping against a door or bumping, why you're not evolving in it. Lovely. Thank you.
Oh yeah.
New year, new sex. I wrote a couple of questions down because I felt, you can talk about new sex, new toys, new people, whoop. And I thought, is trying new things always keeping it fresh? And is exploring new things, oh, or if, and is exploring things always something new? Cute, just throwing it out there. So, I do feel when you try new things, if that is with the same partner or if it's with someone else, I do think it's something new. Also because, and this is I think an interesting thing that I didn't saw coming in my life in general, which is kind of funny, but also very logical, is that your sex life will change. It will be so funny that if you would have sex and have fantasies, thoughts, fun things you want to do with sex now, that in 5 years it would be the same. Because the same with your work position or what you want to achieve in life or other things. I think it all will change over the year, over the years. So I do feel that your sexual orientation, if it's getting to more vanilla stuff or more kinky stuff or knowing and trusting your confidence in them, it will change. So I do feel that when you try new things, it would keep it fresh, because there are always people and situations that pop up that you get triggered by in a good way to feel, oh, this feels good and this feels sexy and this feels, I want to try this. And it just feels like an exciting, fun energy that pops up with like, I want to try this. And there are things in my life that I was like, ooh, I really want to try this. I want to discover this more. Something from Amazon is coming as well, which has something to do with that. And yeah, I do feel it keeps it fresh. And the second question, is exploring things always something new? I think so. I've been with my boyfriend for over six years now, almost 6.5, wow. And I do feel that we have explored new things. And it is funny because if I look back to the beginning of a relationship or even 3 years of back into our relationship, I'm not really sure if we did the same or if it was different. I bet we did differently. I know we did things differently, but that was good at the time. And I think it's interesting when you are with someone, if that is a regular partner, or if that's someone you, I don't know, as a fuck buddy for years, it will change and things will feel new. Because if you would do the same thing over and over again, then it will go away. It will just fade because every day is different. Maybe today I'm into something that I'm not into the day after. I love it how I'm very vague with things. Yeah, new me, new year, still vague. And to be fair, I feel the older I'm getting, the more I am wanting to explore, and more things I am curious about, and more things I am kind of less judgmental about. And I think that's a really big key. And that's, you know, when someone says something about a certain kink, if that is, for example, bondage or piss play or puppy play or latex, leather. I love listening to the podcast What's Your Safe Word? So I feel I'm getting very educated very well. It's the judgment that you have about it that is withholding you of trying it out. I always say to myself, I would always try it once to see how it is. And of course, my gut will say if I would like to try it or not. That is because my body tells me not to do it, not my mind that tells me not to do it. So if someone is not into bondage, it's because I'm like, you know what? I don't want to tie someone down today, or I don't want to be tied up today. And it doesn't have to do with, oh, those kind of people are into that. I don't want to be those kind of people. You see, you feel that? You feel that energy? That's so different. So if you're making a judgment about what kind of fun stuff you want to do in life, do it with your gut and not with your mind. Because you don't want to have complaints about your head. Oh yeah, new thing. So I said in a couple of episodes ago that I was doing some shame work about discovering what I am ashamed of and how that would occur in my life. So like I said, thank God for this podcast, but when a certain emotion comes up, I feel I sometimes close down, verbally as well, especially verbally. And I have sensed some bits a couple of months ago when I was talking to my boyfriend and things came up and I felt I was closing down. I was like, what is this? And then I realized it was shame. because we were talking about certain things and certain sexual things, and I was like, I was ashamed to say some things because, you know, overthinking how that would affect the relationship, how it would affect him, how it would affect me. So I was very working on that shame thing on to let that go because I felt that was standing in the way of communicating and communicating with myself for what I would like and then communicating to my boyfriend to know where we are and to communicate that to my boyfriend. Yeah. And it was so funny that I discovered that because I didn't realize so many things like shame has to do with verbally shutting down, avoiding eye contact. There were so many things that popped up and I was like, this is literally how I felt and I didn't know I felt that. Yeah, so new things that I want to do in this year. I feel in general, so I worked in Prowler years ago, and when I left with over 2 bags of lovely things. Lovely clothing, toys, lube, poppers, everything. And I'm still enjoying most of it. Not the lube, because, yeah, it's been, or the poppers, it's been quite a couple of years. So I do feel that new clothing stuff. I always love a jock, so I will keep buying jock straps, I feel. And I feel I was wearing a chest harness in the panto that we did. And I do feel I would like to invest in something like that more. I would like to explore that kind of stuff. Because what you wear can change how you feel. So yeah, on that note, I'm going to pull a card. Do-do-do-do-do. I am going to pull a card from the Angel's Prayer Oracle cards from Kyle Gray. This card is for you this week when this podcast comes out. Thank you, angels, for being here. Thank you, angels, for guiding my lovely listeners. So this card is for you for this week. And the card is Speak Your Truth from Archangel Gabriel. Thank you, Archangel, for helping me to speak my integrity. She is, so in the original, Archangel Gabriel usually is shown as male, but in the original stories, she is female. Speak your truth. I feel to let it out. She's on the picture, Archangel Gabriel looks so strong, very strong pose. What you have, if there is a bit of fire connected to it, speak it. Vocalize it. Here we go. This pops up from the little booklet that I have. The angels are encouraging you to be honest about what you want. Bam. Say it. Go for it. Say it. Thank you so much. Thank you, lovely people. This was my first ever episode in the new year. If you have any questions for me, please message me on What Is This Feeling podcast on Instagram. You can send me a message, send me a voice note, do whatever you like. If you have any questions about any topics you want me to do, any juicy questions, please message me. And for now, listen to your feelings. Your feelings are valid. You are valid. Have an amazing week. Doei!